What we have in our first reading from Ephesians chapter 1 is actually a prayer that Paul is praying on behalf of those he's writing to in his letter. The whole chapter is a prayer. It begins with praise. And then we have this morning a part of that prayer that is a supplication, that the eyes of our hearts would know and understand and celebrate all the wonder and the grandeur of the gospel that we have in Jesus. His prayer, praying that we would open the eyes of our heart, that we would perceive with the eyes of our heart, actually goes back to the Old Testament, that it often says that you should perceive with your eyes and understand with your heart. So Paul's kind of combining those two different prayers into one, that we would perceive and understand with our eyes and heart here. That we should love God as the great command is, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind, as the great commandment says. What Paul wants us to do is to experience the love of God and be assured that that vast company that has departed from this earth that we're celebrating today are at rest. It doesn't mean they're not doing anything. They're praising the Lord. They're active. They're actively loving God now with their whole being, just as they strove to do in their earthly life. So Paul prays that we would experience that same immeasurable greatness, as Paul calls it. This is a greatness of the gospel and of the truth that no mind could understand, no heart could imagine, that is way beyond human comprehension. This is what he wants us to have a taste of, to see that the Lord is good. He begins with ourselves, that we would open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to who we are as the called ones, as those God is beckoning to come to him in faith to find our hope, and to know that it will be a hope that no one will be disappointed in or by. It is the assurance that we are heirs of a glorious inheritance that awaits us, that is not just a future privilege that we have, but a present one that we also have a foretaste of the richness to come. Elizabeth and I happened to be watching a movie called The Beautiful Mind last week. We finished it last night. And that movie is about John Nash, who is a Nobel Prize winner in mathematics for his work in economics. And he was at Princeton, and then he was at Harvard working. But it's really the story of his mental illness, that he had schizophrenia and that he was losing touch with reality. He didn't know what was real, and he didn't know what was a delusion of his own mind. Things get critical between him and his wife because he's seeing all these people that he knows don't exist, but he continues to be tormented by these delusions. His wife takes her hand in his and places it right on his heart. She knew that he has a brilliant mind, and she challenges him not to try to overcome these delusions with his mind, his brilliant mind, but rather with the love that is in his heart. She said to him, "That is what is real. That love that we share, the love that you have for your students and for your friends and family." She was challenging him to see with the eyes of his heart, just as we are challenged today to see the dead not as those who are departed and are no longer with us and just rest in our memory. No, it's more than that. They are alive in Christ, worshiping at the throne in a multitude that no one can number. Months ago, Karen Hall was standing in line right over here, and someone just before her, as she was greeting people on the way out of the sanctuary, was wearing a hummingbird shirt. Had all sorts of hummingbirds all over her shirt. And I was talking to that person about how much I like hummingbirds, and then Karen began to talk about how much she liked hummingbirds. That was the last time I talked to her before she was in a tragic car accident and was killed. Days after her death, Elizabeth kept on pointing out hummingbirds flying around outside of our kitchen window. We saw them in the garden at the parsonage. Reminders, signposts, perhaps, of the life that has not ceased, but is now continued in the life of the world to come. Barbara Nelson, who also went home to be with the Lord in the last year. I was taking a large check to Helping Hands, our gift to that ministry for the homeless and for the hungry and for diapers for young moms. And as I handed Pastor Kim Gambino the check, I said, I have sad news. Barbara Nelson has died. She's gone home to be with the Lord. And she actually lit up. Knowing Barb Nelson, having served there for many years as a volunteer, she said, I was just thinking about her. I was just praying for her. I'm so sorry to hear the news, but we know that she's with her Heavenly Father in glory. On All Saints, we should look at all the signposts. Not only here inside the sanctuary, the word of God that we hear, the baptismal font where we are adopted as children of God, the altar where we are one with the Lord and with one another, but also those other signposts. Maybe it is a bird that visits you after the death of a loved one, or perhaps it's a sunset or rainbow, or maybe a favorite song of theirs comes on the radio just at the right time. Or perhaps it's the aroma of that person's favorite flower or perfume, or the taste of their favorite dish. They're not proofs of anything, but I think signposts that they not only live on in our experience of life and in our memory, but they also live on in the life of the world to come with Jesus, where they stand in glory. This immeasurable greatness that we have in Jesus Christ, this hope that will not be disappointed, this union that we now have, and the reunion of the life of the world to come will be reunited with those who have preceded us. As we come to the altar this morning, we receive Christ's body and blood with the bread and the wine. We actually, the liturgy tells us that we come to another immeasurable gift with an innumerable company. We come with the heavenly host, with the angels, the archangels, and the whole company of the departed. As St. John says, a number too great for any human being to be able to number. From every nation, tribe, tongue, and people standing before the Lamb. This is a present reality. That's why we call it communion, because we have union together. We not only join together for this meal as a gift, we also know that our hearts are knit together in the love of Christ, who selflessly and sacrificially gave himself for us. And that it is a foretaste of the great union and reunion to come. In the name of Jesus, amen.